again, what a privilege it is to be with you. And yeah, thank you, Vessi and Sumin. You know, you guys are true heroes of the faith. You know, if you consider just the kind of life they've chosen, and again, that is their story. I think what is so important for us, and that's what I want to say tonight, is that, you know, God is the one that writes His story through us. Yeah. And I want to show you actually that every one of you have been called by God. Every one of you are able to live out the purposes of God right where you are. You don't have to sell everything and move to Kazakhstan or someplace. Maybe some of you might. But actually, you can be effective right where God has placed you, in your workplace, in your sphere. Why? Because there are many people that do not know Jesus in your place. So just before I start, I just want to bring you lots of love and greetings from Highway Church in Centurion. And really, we love this church. And we love Vessi and Sumin and love what God is doing here. And it's such a delight for us to just to be part of this great work. You know, do you know that all of us, you know, are invited on the greatest global project this world has ever seen? Eh? You know, it's far greater than any organization, anything is doing, is what Jesus is doing on this earth. Yeah. And that is to take this gospel, the good news about Jesus and His kingdom, to the four corners of the earth. Yeah. And you and I get to be partners of that. Yeah. But before I start, also, I think it lines up so wonderfully what Vessi was saying. Just while we were worshiping, I just had this thought drop in my heart. Are you ready for answered prayer?
Sure.
Are you ready? Do you know that as you are sitting here, you're sitting here because someone's prayer was answered? Have you ever considered that? You know, in the Christian life, I don't know if you've realized, but you go through these long stretches and the short suddenness. Amen? Anyone can testify about that? If you can't, just wait. You'll testify later. You know, but this life, and you see throughout Scripture how people cry out to God for a long time, and it almost seems like God is not doing much, not really doing anything. But then suddenly when it happens, we all go, aha, okay, now we see. Now it makes sense. And I want to say to you that actually, are you ready for answered prayer? Because what is happening even this weekend is it's a major thing for this church. Sure. And when God promotes someone, you know, and again, we can have all the wrong views around promotion, but when God promotes someone, when God gets someone to step into this gap, what does it mean? It means the whole church need to take a step forward as well. This is not just a couple being ordained. This is actually the whole church is getting ordained into something bigger.
Yeah,
amen? Why? I mean, if you think of any organization, when you start adding more employees to an organization, why are you doing it? Because there's life. There's growth. You're anticipating something. So often, again, even what happens this weekend is God is saying yes to many prayers that's been answered. And as they are saying yes, you know, as to be shepherds of this flock, also can you understand that God is also doing something to this church?
Yeah.
And God wants this church to step into something Sunday that you haven't stepped in before. Okay. So, are you ready for answered prayer?
Sure.
Many were not. When God came and answered their prayers, think of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zach and Beth, hey. Yeah. Praying, Lord, give us a son, you know. And their faith, I mean, if you think they had all the pedigree for God to answer their prayer, if there was such a thing. I mean, they were both Levites, you know, from the tribe of Levi. I mean, he was a priest. I mean, if you just add a CV of why God should answer this prayer, yeah, it's right there. But what does God do? He doesn't.
Yeah.
Or actually, he was not yet answering the prayer. Because their prayers and their timeline had to align with God's timeline.
Yeah.
Which was when his son was going to come, that had to line up with John being this forerunner. Amen? So again, don't underestimate, you know, the long stretches of God. King City Church.
Very good.
But as someone has prayed and whose prayers has been answered for you and me to stand here even tonight, I know in my life, I was so far from God. And there were my mother, and there was this one lady, a friend of mine's mother, always called me a little fish. She said, God is going to still get you. And he got me.
Yeah.
Hey. And it was someone's persistence, in spite of evidence, eventually that God said, this is the day. This is the moment. And I want to say that's the same thing happened to us. So can I encourage you, do not stop praying.
Sure.
Do not stop believing. Hey? Can you continue to trust the God who's answered someone else's prayer? Lord, would you do this for this church? Amen. Good. But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. So if you open your Bibles, I'm going to read a very well-known sort of two verses really that we're going to look at tonight. And this happened where, you know, they were looking at Jesus. And I always wonder how this worked because, you know, it's like the disciples are walking and then they're not washing their hands. And then suddenly the Pharisees are up and about. You know, why don't your people, your disciples, wash their hands? And then later they walk in a field and they pluck some grain. It says, why do your disciples pluck grain? So it's like these Pharisees were there with their little magnifying glasses.
Yeah.
It's like watching these disciples all the time. It's like, did you not have something better to do? Yes?
Yeah.
But anyway, so now they talk around fasting and all of these kind of things. And then Jesus then gives this incredible uppercut. Amen. He says to them, he says, no one sews a patch. Sorry, Matthew 9 verse 16. He says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So what does this mean for us? And that's what we're going to look at tonight, is we serve this incredible God whose mercies are new every day, who is on the move. And as God moves, we have to stay flexible to be useful. Amen? So the question is as God is moving in this city, as God is moving in this church, as God is moving in this country, continent, the rest of the world, will this church stay flexible? Will you stay flexible? Will I stay flexible to continue to be used by God and for His purposes? So let me pray for us and then we can get into the Word tonight. So Lord, I want to thank You for this church. I want to thank You, Lord, that the incredible testimony of what You've already done. And Lord, we want to ask You, Lord, that even over these next few days, that You would answer prayers that many have been praying for a long time, Lord. Lord, would You do something incredible over this weekend? Would You fill our cups? Would You fill us all to overflowing, Lord? Would You take this church into the next step of this incredible journey that You've set out before her? Lord, I pray for an activation. I pray for a commissioning this weekend of this church to step into the more of what You've got for them, Lord. I ask You all of these things, and even tonight, especially tonight, would You come? Would You be present? Would You come and make Your Word alive to us? Would You come and minister to us, Lord, tonight from Your Word, we pray. We ask You this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you know, but the church has always, you know, if you had to summarize really what are three things that describe the church over the last 2,000 or so years, you know, many have tried to do it, and I like, it's basically coming down to three key words. It is encounter, it is formation, and it is mission. And that is what we're going to look at tonight, is actually whenever the people of God met, they always had an expectation to encounter God. Whether it was in a two or three gathering together in prayer, whether it was in a home, no matter what they did, there was always an expectation to meet with God. And what happens to us is sometimes over time, we can lose our expectation. We can start going through the motions. We can just do our little religious duties or things for the week. And I want to encourage us again is to be the kind of church that God has called you to be, is may God tonight again stir in you a new expectation to encounter Him whenever the people of God gathering for God to come and be there in our midst. As they encountered God, that led to them being formed. And can I say, the great commission, Jesus didn't just say, go, you know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go and preach the good news. Or now and tell people to come to church on a Sunday. No. He says, go and make disciples. So what that means is, you know, we cannot be a kind of people that every week after week we listen to the word, we read the word, hopefully, you know, every day, and we're listening to things and all of these things, but we do not change. Amen? So the question is, am I a better father than I was a year ago? Am I a better husband than I was a year ago? Am I a better leader than I was a year ago? Because if I walk with Jesus, if I encounter him, surely he will form me. Surely he will shape me. I don't know if you've seen, you know, I used to go to University of Pretoria, and I went to Res, and it's incredible to see all the kids coming to Res, you know, the various residences there, and, you know, Vanilla. But within 6 months, it's very clear who comes from what race. Eh? Because there's a formation. There's a shaping that takes place. So the question again is, in the same way God wants to shape you and me, he wants to form us into what? Into the image of Christ. To become more and more like Jesus. And then, of course, that then leads to us actually living a life that beckons a question. Living a life of mission. So as I encounter God, I'm becoming more like him, and then I will actually go on mission, and God will use me to open doors and share this good news wherever I am. Okay, now, Bulawayo, as I've read a little bit, is a city that's known, you know, that knows what it means to be stretched and reshaped. You know, it once, Bulawayo was an industrial giant. Is that true? Now, rebuilding through resilience, culture, and new opportunities, it's actually, God is busy. It seems like things are being shaped. Things are being, you know, renewed. And what this city was once known for, it seems like it's getting to be known by other things. Actually, we see that generational churches that are here, that have been around for a very long time, are actually, next to them, there is a generation that's rising that's actually hungry for God, that wants not the old ways, that wants God to do something new, something real. Bulawayo, in many ways, is being reshaped. Old railway lines are alongside new digital pathways that is being formed. So I don't know if that's true, but anyway, that's what I've read a little bit about this. So the question is that we need to ask ourselves, is will this church continue to move, to be shaped, to be stretched, and to actually to be able to continue to adapt to the city as the city is busy adapting? I ask this question when I think of the Jerusalem church. What happened to the Jerusalem church? The very place where God, you know, we see the most incredible revival. We see Peter preaching and thousands coming to the Lord, and not short after that, all these things happening, but somehow within a very short time, that church suddenly decides to not become missional anymore. And suddenly this church that was so vibrant and alive stopped moving with God, and they started to settle. And eventually a new church in Antioch started, and what happens is eventually the church in Jerusalem fades away, and the church in Antioch becomes the church that actually takes this gospel to the nations. So imagine this. If you have a look, can we maybe show those pictures, please? Who knows what this is?
Sure.
It's placemat.
Any takers? Okay. Many of you know. If you don't know, some of you younger guys, you know, when we were still riding on our dinosaurs, we used to take these things, which had data on it, and then we put it into, just next picture, into a machine called like that. Okay, you would put it in there. I can't even remember the size. I mean, it was bits or kilobit or something. Now we've got giga and tera and exa and whoever the things are. But the point is, that thing fitted in there. Now, I don't know if you know, but if you look at a smartphone today, you know, they say what, like some of the Apple iPhones, literally the processing power in an iPhone is more than a whole room full of computers that they use to put someone on the moon. Okay. Now, if I take that iPhone and I try and put it in that machine, will it work? Okay. Why not? That machine stayed the same, while the one was adapting and changing and advancing. Okay. Now, imagine if you know, Jesus says it like this. He says, no one pours out new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the skins will burst. New wine must be poured into new wineskins. So, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a global, that many call it a silent revival, that's taking place, especially amongst young people, especially amongst young men. They reckon there's more young men coming back to church than there's ever been. So all over the world, in spite of all the craziness and wars and rumors of wars and all these kind of things, God is busy moving. God is busy awakening people, individuals, leaders, churches. And in many ways, we could say, to link it to our text today, God is busy pouring out new fresh wine. So the question isn't, is God moving? The question is, are you ready and able to move with God? Are you able to be flexible to receive this new thing that God is doing in the world right now? Imagine just with me for a moment. Acts 2. Vesey preaches Sunday morning, and suddenly 1,000 people get saved here. Are you ready, King City Church, to receive 1,000 new people and to disciple them? Are you ready? Can you take them over the new months, the next few months, and make them disciples? Suddenly, where there's many broken families, many people are searching for purpose, people are desperate for hope, and they suddenly come into this church. Are you ready? Again, I ask, are you ready for answered prayer? It's easy to pray, eh? But when it happens, could you disciple them? Could you walk with them? Could you trust God? Actually, and I'm not saying you should do that. Please speak to your elders. But if God challenges you to leave your job and sit and disciple them, and like he says to Elijah, I will even send ravens to feed you. Can you do that? Would you stretch your life to make space for what God is doing? Or would your systems or your lack of preparation, you trying to maybe just survive on your own, your comfort zones, would it crack under pressure if God had to do this? This leads to a very important question. Is your goal to be the best church in Bulawayo or the best church for Bulawayo?
Oh, very good.
If you're truly for this city, then you have to move beyond. How do we get people into this church on a Sunday so Vesey can get them saved? Mm-hmm. Yes? And start asking, how do we equip people in this church to be effective the other 6 days of the week? In homes, in schools, in markets, in hospitals, in small businesses, on the streets, in factories, offices, you know, in your communities. This is what it means to be a new wine leadership people. So let's look firstly, encounter. How do we operate? How do we live out? How do we move with God? Well, firstly, we need to understand that God's presence comes first. You see, before strategies, before structures, before leadership models, there needs to be an encounter with the living God. Do you desire to encounter God still? Do you still desire Him to meet with Him? In 1 Kings 18, Elijah, we see how Elijah comes and there's the Baal prophets and there's everyone around him. And there's this big showdown on this Mount Carmel. And what does he do? He builds an altar. He doesn't build some stage or platform. He builds an altar. And what happens is the fire of God comes down on that altar, not on some performance or something that he did. Have you considered that every gathering that you have is actually meant to be an altar? life groups, moms group, whatever you do in the week, pray. I don't know, whatever it is that you do. Sunday services, prayer meetings, life groups, leadership meetings, worship rehearsals are actually not meant to just be meetings. It's actually where the people of God gather. There's this expectation for God to come. To come and alight things. You see, altars, places where we expect God to meet us everywhere we gather, like the early church. Paul says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers when he talks to the one group of leaders. So do you see this important leadership principle here? You cannot take people where you have not gone yourself. You know, I can tell you everything about a McDonald's burger. Do you have McDonald's here?
No.
Okay. A KFC. I can tell you everything about KFC. I can show you photos. I can, you know, give you the composition. I can show you the, you know, the ingredients of all things. But until you've eaten it, it's very different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's very difficult for me to sell you on KFC unless I've had it myself. Yes? Okay. So you cannot take people where you haven't gone yourself.
Yeah.
You see, people don't imitate our announcements. They imitate our rhythms. They imitate what we do. I don't know if you have children. I realize my children do far more what I do than what I say.
Yeah, very good.
I tell them don't like sweet things. But unfortunately, they do. So let me ask you tonight, talking around these very things. If everyone in King City Church prayed like you, read scripture like you, served like you, gave like you, pursued Jesus like you, what kind of church would this become? Again, I say, are you ready for answered prayer? If God sends 1,000 new people here and they model you, what kind of disciples would they be? What kind of church would this be? You see, everything we do as leaders shapes culture.
Yeah.
Everything. And everything you don't do also shapes culture. Yes? Mm-hmm. You see, in Bulawayo, people aren't only shaped in classrooms or churches. They are shaped in family cultures, street cultures, workplace culture, youth culture, music culture, social media culture. Why? Because formation is contagious. We become like those we spend time with. So ask yourself, who is forming you? Who am I becoming? Eh? God doesn't want busy Christians. He wants people who encounters him. And as we encounter God, as I bite into that KFC drumstick and I taste it, man, I can come to you and start telling you how good this is. This is surely something that you want as well. Okay? So what's the point? Number one is, Lord, may we encounter you. May you come. May we deliver us from low expectations. Deliver us from, you know, just religious gatherings and religious things. Lord, help us to, we are, you know, isn't that what God says about Israel? We are the people of your presence.
Yeah.
If Christ is in you, surely what does it mean? It means everywhere you go into the city, 6-7 days a week, actually you're taking the presence of God with you. Okay? Encounter. Number two, formation. Shaping new wineskins. So Romans 12, Paul writes, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. No matter what you say, your thinking determines your action. You see, the wineskin is not the wine. Sometimes we are the wineskin that God wants to stretch. You see, old wineskin thinking says, as long as people attend church, they are growing. New wineskin thinking says, people are being formed all day, you know, all every day, all week long. So we need to disciple them for everyday life. Because if the church is not forming people, social media will.
Yeah, exactly.
Materialism will. This culture will. Broken systems will. You see, formation must move from information to transformation. You know, I said to someone this morning, you know, around the whole apartheid thing that happened in South Africa, How is it possible? Because, you know, he was just explaining to me how he was in prison. In Robben Island, in prison, and they gave them Bibles to read. And I'm like, how is it possible that people read their Bibles and do the things they do to you?
Sure.
You see, there's this thing about us week after week listening to sermons and doing these things, but again, are we changing?
Yeah, very good.
Am I becoming more loving? Am I becoming a different person? You see, people look at us. They don't look, you know, you can tell them all the stories. You can tell me, you know, every doctrine in this world you can describe to me. Do you believe even one of them? We need to move from information to transformation, from programs to practice, from events to a lifestyle. You see, Jesus comes in this world and he becomes the word. He becomes their message. You know what this city needs? Is for you and me to become our message. Amen? If people look at me, they should see there's something different about you. The way you act, the way you do things, there's something. Like Peter says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. Okay? What do we or some people do? Don't be the weirdo at the water cooler or tea time, jumping out behind the kettle. Do you know Jesus? Turn or burn? Right? You know, one of the greatest evangelism tools that you and I have is your work ethic. Let's just start there. Because if I work for God and not for man or for a salary, I'm going to work differently than someone who's working for a salary. Amen? If I suddenly realize, you know, think about Jesus. You know, Jesus was in marketplace for many years. Have you ever thought about that? Okay? Two of you. Okay. He did woodwork. He was a carpenter. Okay? You agree? Okay, you're looking as I'm... Yeah, I'm telling you not the truth here. Okay? So let's just consider Jesus the carpenter. You come into his shop. What kind of furniture did Jesus make? If you buy a chair from him as you sit down on the floor,
okay?
Or a table, what kind of furniture did Jesus make? Yes, woodwork. Okay, now let's talk about customer service. What kind of customer service did Jesus give? He probably never had to have any returns, but. You know, someone once said, the worst thing for you was to be the brother or sister of Jesus. Because if there was a mess made or something, it's like, it wasn't even, who was it? You know it was the other one. Hey. Anyway, just something to think about. Anyway, think about woodwork. So if Jesus can bring glory to God through woodwork, can you bring glory to God through farming?
Sure.
IT. I don't know. Tell me, what jobs do you do? Give me some jobs.
Teaching.
What?
Accounts.
Yeah. You know, I've accepted spreadsheets in my heart. Hey? What else? Give me jobs. What are your jobs?
Mechanic.
Stay at home mum. That's a very hard job.
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, what else?
Nurses.
So if Jesus can bring glory to God through woodwork, can you not bring glory to God through what you do?
Yeah.
How did he bring glory to God through woodwork and whether he was doing woodwork or raising someone from the dead? How? Because he did it as unto God. Okay, so we need to ask, are we forming people to follow Jesus?
Sure.
At their work, at their school, in their business, in their families, in their struggles. You know, there are people that you see and meet every day that Vesi and Sumin will not meet. There are people you speak to every day that they will never speak to. You see, that is the thing. We so often make church, you know, it's the pastor. The pastor's the only one that can do something. No, friend, God has called you. He's activated you in your place to be his hands and feet. So how does this work? It works, you come into the church, God shapes and forms and does something to you here. And weekly, as you take this, you go live it out the 6 days of the week that you are not here. So are we forming people? What does it look like to follow Jesus as a teacher? I love someone once used the example, if Jesus did your job, how would he do it? That's it. Hey? What does it look like to follow Jesus as a teacher? If Jesus was a teacher, how would he teach? If Jesus was a nurse, if Jesus was a taxi driver, if Jesus was a small business owner, if Jesus was a student, if Jesus was a mechanic, if Jesus was a civil servant, if Jesus was a parent, how would he do it? Okay? And you see, we think Jesus cheated. But you know he's God. Yes, but he's also 100% man.
Yeah.
And what did he model to us? He modeled to us as 100% man, a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what he modeled to us. Yes? Okay? Which means, if you are saved, if you belong to him, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart and your life, what happens is he's now living inside of you, and the same Holy Spirit who helped him, empowered him and led him, wants to lead and empower you right where you are. Do you know that Jesus didn't only teach in religious spaces? He taught in homes, on roads, at wells, around tables, in everyday life. So what's the point? Can we stop thinking just Sunday, but actually see Sunday is not the destination. Sunday is the launch pad.
Yeah.
Sunday is the place where I am getting shaped. We often say, do you have halftime sports? Do they still give oranges? Okay, oranges or something, you know, eat some oranges and spray some deep heat, you know. And then what happens? Back on the field.
Yeah.
And isn't that what, you know, what church and our gatherings are meant to be? We come together, we get envisioned, encouraged and strengthened and get some deep heat because, you know, those dirty old Philistines hurt me a bit this week, you know. But then I go back again. Back again into actively living out what God has called us to. The lost are not only in church buildings. They are in homes, hostels, workplaces, shopping areas, sports fields, online spaces. You see, the kingdom of God is bigger than the church. But the church is critical to the expansion of the kingdom of God. Because did Jesus not say it's in and through the local church or the church that I will make my manifold wisdom known? Now, some people would hear this and say, okay, that's it. I'm going to start my ministry on the side. Then you didn't hear. Then you're missing it. That's like cutting yourself off a branch from the tree. Okay? Now, actually, it's in here that I get filled, shaped, transformed. You see, the church is, you know, do your kids still have those bicycles with the little wheels on the side? Yes? Okay. Isn't that what the church is? The church is the little wheels on the side. Because here I learn to love. Here I learn to care. Here I learn to give. Here I learn to share my faith. Why? So that I can do it out there. The church, if you had to ask me, is like an embassy of the kingdom of God. Think about an embassy. An embassy is all about advancing the purposes of the sovereign, the country that you come from. We gather actually to be equipped. And then as we are gathered, we are being sent out every week into our city, into your sphere, into these places. So I often say to our people, stop going to work. You know, all the young people rejoice. Maybe those that's been working for a long time. I say, start going on mission.
Yeah, very good.
Start going on mission. If it was just about salvation, we would be in heaven right now. But our job isn't finished. Until Jesus comes back, every day God sends you and me into our cities, into our spheres, not to earn a salary, Not to just get through and crawl through another day and I hope I've made it. No, actually to be on mission. To be used by Him in your place. Last point, mission. A church that gathers to scatter. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. The early church did not build its identity around gathering alone. They understood we gather to be filled, and then we scatter to bring life. Did you know that mission for the early church was not a department? Mission for the early church was also, it was not a trip or a special calling. It was the identity of every believer. So old wineskin, unflexible or inflexible thinking says, come and see. New wineskin says, no, now go and live. Jesus didn't say, follow me and I'll make you comfortable. Contrary to what some guys preach. No, He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. Every believer, every day, everywhere. Can you think of what an adventure? If you now start going every day, say, Lord, would you use me? I'm guaranteeing you, end of the night, you're going to say, Lord, I feel so used. Lord, would you use me? As you go wherever, home, city, shops, wherever, Lord, use me. Use me, Lord. A call to become a new wineskin. You see, this is the invitation. Will you become a new wineskin people? As God has stretched the city, as God has adjusted the city, as God is doing things in the city, and maybe to you it feels like looking at yourself in the mirror every day, it feels like there's not much change. But can I say to us, every time we come here, we see change. We see growth. We see other things. We see it. Even now, you've got a great, there's this faith project, you know, before you. You've slain the lion and the bear. You've got your land, but now it's time to take on that Goliath. Why? To just have a building, a little monastery where we can hide out from the dirty Philistines out there? No. To have a bigger platform, a bigger, you know, base from which people can be mobilized, trained, equipped, and be sent into the city. We want to be disciples who encounter God, who are formed into His likeness. You see, if I want to be formed, I can't stay a dry wineskin. I need to be shaped. As He pours out, you know, I need to be flexible and allow Him to shape me. And then we want to live as sent ones. Imagine King City Church filled with students living on mission, business owners living on mission, parents living on mission, young people living on mission, retirees living on mission. Again, the finish line for us, I say to our people, is not in Hermanus, which is a city by the sea, picking up shells every day. Seriously, is that your life? Sitting together and while you're drinking tea, you know, comparing shells that I picked up today. Is that the life God has called you to? Hey? No, the finish line is in heaven. That's where the finish line is. Till our dying breath, we want to run, we want to use. So you end up in the old age home, great. Then you become the pastor of the old age home. You just evangelize those people. You are the last outpost before hell. There you are. Placed right there in the old age home. Not to drink soup. No, to be the last. This is the last outpost.
Come on.
Last chance.
Yeah. Sure.
A church that measures success not only by attendance, but by deployment. Not Sunday only Christianity, but everyday Christianity. You see, God is the sender. We are sent into Bulawayo. That's your mission field. Your workplace is your mission field. Your school, your university, your home, that is your mission field. And God says, I will equip you. I will strengthen you. How? Through the local church. Hey? He's the one sending us. So maybe we can stand.
Sure.
What will happen 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, will be determined on the measure that we will stay flexible wineskins. As God is shaping and shaking and doing various things, if we can continue to stay flexible with God, He can continue to fill us with new wine. He can continue to do new things in and through us. So I wonder tonight, maybe you can just close your eyes and just take a moment just to consider. You know, I've said many things. Incredible thing is the Holy Spirit is so infinitely greater, able to arrest our hearts. I'm not trying to hype you up. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to say, you know, there's so much more for you. Stop going to work. Start going on mission. Maybe you've lost heart. Maybe you've been like Zechariah and Elizabeth that's been praying for decades for a family member, a colleague, or for a breakthrough. What if tomorrow? What if tomorrow's the day? But you know, here's the thing. David. Where did God find David? He was busy looking after sheep.
Yeah.
That's where he wasn't waiting at the bus stop called calling. Elisha. Where did God find Elisha? Again, he wasn't waiting at the bus stop. He was busy plowing. You see, friend, it's from faithfulness in our everyday that God brings fruitfulness, that God brings promotion. Jesus had to be faithful with wood. What is God calling you to be faithful to?
Yeah,
so maybe tonight, if this is in your heart, you know, maybe this is a prayer. Lord, would you make me a new wineskin? Would you stretch us where it's needed? Would you soften me, Lord? Maybe the places where you've become rigid. Lord, would you soften those rigid places again? Would you give us fresh encounters with you, deep formation and missional courage, and would you send us into every corner of Bulawayo with your Spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ? So, Lord, that is our prayer tonight, that you would, as you're commissioning a couple this weekend, Lord, may this church be commissioned into more influence, more opportunities, a greater impact in the city. Lord, we want to pray that things that used to take years will take months, and things that used to take months will take weeks, and things that used to take weeks will take days and hours, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to rend the heavens. Rend the heavens, Lord. Would you come down, Lord, as Vessi so reminded us, Lord, just that Zimbabwe will not be what people say Zimbabwe is or will be.
Yeah.
But Zimbabwe will be who you have called this nation to be.
Yeah, very good.
We pray for this nation to arise. We pray for this nation to not only be restored to a glorious place, Lord, but to be taken beyond. Beyond, Lord, where they've ever been before. Would you start in your church? Would you start in this church by encountering and activating your people to step into the next thing that you've got for us? Bless this church. Empower this church. Lead this church. Use this church. Pour out new wine. Pour out your Spirit, as we pray, in a fresh way. Pray for a fresh anointing, a fresh and filling of your Spirit upon every member of this church. Those that are here and those are yet to come. To go and live out and do the work that you've called them to until we see you face to face. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, George. That's just so incredibly helpful. Let's just appreciate George. Just wanted to just as we do this, I want to ask you just to stay in this moment as we conclude our evening together. George, prayed for us as a church. And for us to move into what God has for us as a preferred future starts with me. Starts right now, this very moment. Lord, I ask that you will help each one of us as individuals to lay hold of what was shared tonight.
Yeah.
Kind of says, Lord, that I will encourage people to go and listen to this word again and to take notes on what you're saying to us individually.
Yeah.
Because our corporate of God application will start with an individual recognition of what you're saying to me. And Lord, I pray that you will help us. This is just a sweet moment of gathering, and it's just nice to see friends. This is a significant, holy moment.
Yeah.
Father, I want to ask that you will help us to be faithful to what has been brought into our context and has been sown into our lives tonight. Help us, Jesus, not just to feel good and go home and forget. Help us, Lord God, to protect this word and may it fall, not just tonight, but in the days to come, on good soil. Lord, I pray that you will help us to remove hardness and weeds and stones that have formed in our hearts about my purpose and the nation's purpose. And that we will repent, Lord God, and see you come and plow up and remove those things and turn our hearts into good, fertile soil. Jesus, please would you do that? And Lord, I pray that this word will indeed be received in good soil. Help us from it. I thank you that there's something, Lord God, that you're stirring us towards, and I pray for the rest of this weekend that we will remain so sensitive to what it is that you're saying to us. I trust you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you. Appreciate just George and the team, but I want to ask you to appreciate the word that God wants to speak and is speaking. I'm saying once because I believe there's an outworking of this word that needs to happen. And I want to encourage you. It's been recorded. We'll put it out on our normal channels where it will be available for you. Please take God, I felt God speak to me to say, don't sit with this and work it through in your heart. I want to ask you to join me in that.